Chapter 1. To Walk Between Worlds. Bobby Rush is an impressive man. Born in the deep south town of Albany, Georgia, in 1946, he later moved with his family to Chicago, Illinois, and rose to become a United States congressman. Along the way, he served in the U.S. Army, earned a bachelor's degree and two master's degrees, became an ordained Baptist minister, and won such respect in his district, on the south side of Chicago, that he is now in his eighth term in office. He also has the courage of his convictions. He was a co-founder of the Black Panther Party in Illinois and spent years operating a medical clinic and a breakfast program for children. He was a pioneer in drawing attention to the agonies of sickle cell anemia in the black community. Not surprising, given his track record, on July 15, 2004, Congressman Rush became only the second sitting U.S. congressman to be arrested, not for corruption or payola scams, but for protesting human rights violations at the Sudanese embassy in Washington, D.C. Truly, Bobby Rush is an impressive man. So why, in 1999, did 38-year-old Barack Obama, who had served in the Illinois Senate only 3 years, decide to challenge Bobby Rush for his congressional seat? It could not have been the numbers. Rush's name recognition was more than 90%, while Obama's was barely 11. It also could not have been any political differences. Everyone knew that the two men held nearly the same views. It was one of the reasons that Rush often expressed hurt over Obama's challenge. Whatever moved Obama to run against Rush, it was not a pleasant experience for the younger man. From the outset, Rush's approval rating was more than 70%. Then, not long into the campaign, Rush's son, Huey Rich, was tragically shot on his way home from a grocery store. The young man hung between life and death for 4 days. Though it was distasteful at the time for anyone to mention a political benefit to the tragedy, the outpouring of sympathy did seem to galvanize support for Rush, particularly among undecided voters. Soon billboards arose in the district proclaiming, "I'm sticking with Bobby." It never got better for Obama. Even President Clinton entered the fray and supported Rush, breaking his own policy of not endorsing candidates in primaries. Rush won with twice the vote Obama received, approximately 60% to 30%, and Obama was forced to admit that, "I got my rear end handed to me." There had been hurt and bitterness, the bad blood that fierce political battles can leave between men. Years went by, though, and with distance came a mellowing. The same Rush who had once described Obama as a man blinded by ambition came, in time, to a different view. After Obama entered the U.S. Senate, Rush said, "I think that Obama, his election to the Senate, was divinely ordered. I'm a preacher and a pastor. I know that was God's plan. Obama has certain qualities. I think he's being used for some purpose." Rush is not alone in this. Increasingly, words such as called, chosen, and anointed are being used of Obama. Though these terms have long belonged to the native language of the religious right, they are now becoming the comfortable expressions of an awakened religious left, of a faith-based progressive movement. Moreover, they are framing the image of Barack Obama in the minds of millions of Americans. Perhaps this should be expected. Perhaps this is nothing more than a byproduct of the uniquely American need to paint politics and politicians in messianic terms. Perhaps this is what comes, in part, from a people believing themselves a chosen nation. Yet what is unique about the